Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
I'm Tom Dodson with Professor Gary Bass. His new book is Judgment at Tokyo, World War II on Trial and the Making of Modern Asia. We come to an international war crimes tribunal. The Class A suspects are chosen on the basis of different measurements of what was an aggressive war, action of aggressive war, what signed on to aggressive war. And this aggressive war is in addition to committing conventional war crimes and in addition to committing crimes against humanity. Class A, they come up with a list of 28. Two fall ill or mentally ill and are not there. So they're in this vast courtroom, which is the former imperial military headquarters, the army headquarters. And the stage is set with Klieg lights. There are photographs. You can understand how vast the canvas is. But the choosing of the judges is all determinative. And, Professor, I've made a list of these judges. Some are chosen very wisely and very carefully by their countries, and some are half-hearted. And that is the case, as I learned from you, for the choice by Harry Truman. Not only for the judge, but for the chief prosecutor. Was Harry Truman briefed well on the needs of this trial? Did he understand choosing cronies was not wisdom?
Truman comes to this crucial decision of who you're, you know, it's one thing to create an institution. It's another thing to figure out who's actually going to run the thing. And Truman, as you say, has a kind of crony like Missouri machine politician approach to it. So he picks a kind of undistinguished guy from the Justice Department, a buddy of his called Joseph Keenan, who is temperamentally very badly suited to the job, who is blustery, kind of incompetent, noticeably less smart than a lot of the judges. There's a very, very erudite Chinese judge, a very erudite Indian judge, and Keenan is just outclassed by them. The British judge is also extremely smart. Keenan is completely outclassed by them. He's also, it's something that's actually hard to figure out how to write about in the book, because he's suffering from alcoholism. And the way that everybody else is writing about it at the time, where there's not a lot of sympathy for alcoholism as a disease, the way people write about it is just brutal, that they say that he's a drunk and he's useless and he's hopeless. And I did try and write Keenan a little bit as somebody who is, on the one hand, like he's doing a terrible job. On the other hand, he's wrestling with addiction. And I sort of felt a certain sympathy. That's something where some of the time you look back at attitudes from 1946 and think, maybe we could be a little more forgiving. But anyway, he does a terrible job at it. And it does show some of Truman's incompetence. He's just new at this. He's still figuring out how to do it. He doesn't have a deep roster of people that he can turn to and trust. So he picks, he picks a not very distinguished American judge also.
Yes. And Judge Higgins, who's replaced later. In other words, Truman does not take advantage of what's available the way Robert Jackson was chosen for Nuremberg.
That's exactly right. I mean, Robert Jackson, who is a justice on the United States Supreme Court, who's a former attorney general, who is a magnificent speaker and writer. So really, a towering figure of, in American legal history. And he's a very powerful figure as the prosecutor at Nuremberg. And Joseph Keenan in Tokyo is, absolutely pales in comparison to Justice Jackson.
The decisions by the judges will be final. They're sitting all together in the courtroom, and they have elaborate chairs, elaborate presentations. I want to comment on one in particular. Sir William Webb from Australia, Queensland, becomes the chief judge. And he's often cranky in your explanation because you've gone through all several thousand pages of testimony. Was he effective in the courtroom, hammering, pushing away defense arguments that were they'd heard before? Was that considered successful?
So he is, on the one hand, he's very blunt. He is, as you say, extremely cranky. It's actually, the trial record is 50,000 pages. It's 2.5 years.
Thank you.
So it was, sorry, that's painfully burned into my memory, having read all the, I had to read the whole thing. So Keenan, he is distinctly cranky, and it can sometimes be useful that when somebody is putting up a nonsense legal argument, or when Japanese army generals who in this period have a tendency to yell, that's sort of part of the Imperial Japanese Army's discipline is there's a lot of yelling.
30 seconds, Gary. Go ahead.
And Webb is good at yelling right back. But he also alienates all of the other judges. He makes the defense feel as if they're being treated unfairly. And it's crucial if this is going to be a real trial, there needs to be some equality of arms between prosecution and defense. And Webb seems to be favoring the prosecution far too much.
The book is Judgment at Tokyo, World War II on Trial and the Making of Modern Asia. Gary Bass is the author. We're going to turn to the trial itself and surprisingly, the after trial. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.